of tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Monday evening, July the 4th, 2005. For the July Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Nathan Hobson of Pampa, Texas, is the minister on this of this service.
We cast demons out of people, but if they don't repent of the sin that caused gave the demon the legal right to be there to begin with, then we do them a disservice. That's why you don't cast demons out of a lost person that doesn't want Jesus in their life. Why would you want to make them 8 times worse than they were? Hello? And it's the same way with a believer who is caught up in some besetting sin that wants to be free from it, but won't take the effort to quit it. Won't repent of it and stop it. Now that might not match your demonology very well and everything, but I believe that's God's truth.
Amen.
Repentance. Turning away from the sin. And the reason we see a lot of people that don't keep their deliverance is why? I had a lady in the church. She's always coming wanting me to cast out the spirit of nicotine, the spirit of addiction and all of that. And before I learned some things, and finally one day she came in, she said, "Oh, I want you to cast these out." I said, "No." Well, no, first I said, "Have you quit smoking?" "No." I said, "Then go on. Just get. I'm not going to waste time on you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray God gives you the desire to quit, but until you quit, until you take a stand, no point." I said, "Because if I cast it out, by the time you get out of the parking lot, you'll have another one lit up, and then it'll be a whole lot worse than it was." Anybody here ever had trouble quitting smoking? Everybody here ever started back after quitting? You made up your mind and you was going to quit, and then you started back up again? It was about 10 times harder the second time to quit than it was the first time. I know. I smoked from the time I was 12 years old till I was 39. I smoked for 27 years. I was a 3-pack-a-day smoker. I quit. I even went to the doctor and got tranquilizers and got everything I could help. I was eating about 20 pills a day. Coming back in from the drilling rig one day, and I was just about to crawl. I rolled down the window and threw that bottle of pills as far as I could. And I looked over at Baldy Haney, my hand that was with me, and I said, "Give me a cigarette." And then that's when I became a 3-pack-a-day guy. You see, you can't play around with these things. You got to talk to yourself. You got to tell yourself that you are able to accomplish everything that God wants you to do. Confess who you are in Christ. Now, excuse me. Let me find my place here. Philippians 3:9. "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Now, if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if it is God who works in me to will and to do of His good pleasure, in other words, when you feel the unction or the anointing or the conviction or whatever you want to call it to quit something like cigarettes, then God is obligated by His own word to help you do it. But He generally ain't going to do it for you until you make up your mind that you're going to do it. Now, the minute you make up your mind you're going to do it, then God will intercede. Now, I was trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was smoking my 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And my mentor at that time came by the house to check on me because some things had happened. I'd had an accident, and it's when I'd injured this arm and all of that. And he came by to see me, and he said, "Well, Brother Nathan, have you received the baptism yet?" And I said, "No, but as soon as I quit smoking, I will." And he said, "No, you won't." I looked at him, I said, "What do you mean, no, I won't?" He said, "Because you're trying to earn it. You're trying to get it by works." I said, "Well, what am I going to do, Bruce? I hate these cigarettes. I've been trying to quit for years before God turned my life around. I mean, you run up and down windmills and well derricks and windmills and stuff all the time, and you smoking three packs a day, you're getting at the top. He said, just give them to Jesus. So he left, and I went in the bedroom, and I took a package of cigarettes, and I set it up on the bed, and I said, Lord Jesus, this is my idol, and it's bigger than I am. And I've tried everything I can to quit. But from now on, every cigarette I smoke is your cigarette. And I went back in the den, sat down, watched TV, and smoked that whole pack before bedtime. 3 weeks went by. And on March the 17th, 1972, I walked into Wade Steakhouse for my afternoon break. I had sold my business and gone back into municipal work. I walked into Wade Steakhouse for my afternoon break, coffee, and I sat down there. And a girl came to the table, and the whole crew usually came in, and that day wasn't anybody there but me. And they all came in, and I mean none of them came in, and she came, and she took my order for coffee, and I whooped out my package of Bel Air cigarettes, because my wife saved them Raleigh coupons. And I used gopher matches. I was not too sophisticated. I didn't carry a cigarette lighter. I just used gopher matches, because they gave them away. And cigarette lighters, when you know, when I was out in the well field and way off out there, sometimes I'd have to light the cutting torch, light the cigarette, because I didn't have my lighter to quit. I mean, it's amazing what you'll do for some dumb thing like a cigarette, you see. Well, anyway, I sat down there and I took that package out, and there was only two gone out of it. And I started to shake one out, and I had my matches in my other hand. And I was going to stick her in there and light her up, you know. And I didn't hear an audible voice, but the Lord said, you don't need those anymore. I laid them down, put the matches on top of them, drank the coffee, walked out of there, and have never touched or desired a cigarette since. Now, it wasn't that easy for my lovely wife. See, I'll get her to tell you about her experience that sometime. She's got a pretty good story about it, too. But... And it doesn't work that way for everybody, I know. But God knew that I was about the biggest pansy in town when it came to trying to quit smoking. And so He took them that way. I never had a withdrawal, never craved one. I don't know, it was 10 years later, I guess, I went to the doctor for a general checkup, you know, and they x-rayed me and all of that. And the doctor said, you've never smoked, have you? I said, just 27 years, Doc. He said, you're lying to me. I said, no, I'm not. He said, your lungs are as clear as a person who never had a cigarette or tobacco of any kind in their mouth. Isn't that just like the Lord? I mean, God's good, folks. Well, let me see where I am here. Again, we become what we confess we are. You see, the application is that we believe God, and God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, shall not he also bring it to pass? Numbers 23:19. I never did read the text either, did I? Well, well, I got it right here. And what it was Proverbs 26:2 and Isaiah 54:17. Yeah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Okay, now I've read the text. I guess I ought to pray over it, huh? I forgot that too. What can I say? Jesus is Lord! Amen. He really is. He really is. Well, praise the Lord. Now, I kind of storied to you. I said I had 5 points, but I really just had 3. But the thing you need to understand, if God said it, it's settled. Now, somebody, you know, gets real spiritual and says, God says it, I believe it, and it's settled. Now, I got news for you. It's settled whether you believe it or not. Because God said it, it's settled. Whether you believe it or not. Now, it's settled for you if you believe it. But if you don't believe it, it's still God's Word and it's still settled. So if God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, are you going to argue with God?
No.
Now, here's the thing. If you're continuing to seek deliverance from the same thing, then you're refusing to believe that God's Word is true. In effect, you're calling God a liar. And I don't know. I've been in deliverance now for 15 years, not near as long as most people around here that's been in deliverance. But I know one thing for sure, that if you keep coming back for the same thing every time you come to camp meeting and you got the same problem, or you're going to your pastor with the same problem, there's two things that are happening. One is you are not settling a sin question. Let me tell you something. The flesh is a whole lot bigger enemy than all the demons from... Now, how do the demons get a hold of you? Through the flesh. But you've got to crucify the flesh. You can't cast out the flesh. And a lot of people come for deliverance and they're wanting the flesh cast out. But you've got to crucify the flesh. And you can't crucify a demon. You've got to cast it out. So you have to think about these things. And if you are continually coming with the same problem, every time that you have the opportunity to go to where deliverance is ministered, and you've got the same problem, you need to settle it once for all. You need to search your heart. You need to repent of all known sin. You need to renounce it. Remember I said the other morning, repentance is for the past, renunciation is for the future. You repent of what you did in the past and you renounce any affiliation with that from that day forward. And you walk in that renunciation of it, and therefore you can be set free from it. Satan cannot come into your life unless he has a legal right. Now, there are times, and Dr. Noah brought this up today, and he spoke about it. I wasn't here for the whole session, but I heard you say this. You mentioned blood transfusions. Well, I was in Port of Leash, County Leash, Ireland, right outside of Kilkenny, County of Kilkenny, which is about midway through the Republic there, from Dublin. And we were doing a deliverance conference. It was being held in the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church there was over 250 years old, the building was, and it would seat about a third of what's in here tonight. I'll tell you a little bit about Ireland in a moment. But 5 days, 5 nights, we taught every night. Every afternoon was taken up with ministering to people who could, for whatever reason, could not go to the meetings or some reason. And the minute they found out, and word spread like wildfire, the first day I got there, for example, I wasn't supposed to start doing anything for 2 days. The first day I was there, the phone rang. I was staying with the minister, the missionary there. The phone rang, and a lady says, "I need to see," and I'd met her before when I was there before, "I need to see Brother Nathan." "Well, he's not doing anything. I've got to see him today." And she had a legitimate reason, and I'll tell you about it. She and her husband were having some problems, and he was trying very hard to restore their relationship, and he had booked a vacation in Spain. But to get there, they had to fly, and she was terrified of flying, and particularly terrified of flying over water. And I knew her. She's a sweet lady. Her name's Joan, and if you think of Joan, pray for her because she's fighting cancer now. I'll stay in touch with her with email. But she came on over and we ministered deliverance, and they left the next day, and I didn't see her again. And after I got back home, I emailed her, or she emailed me or something. But anyway, she said they had a wonderful second honeymoon. She had no fear about anything or anything like that. But while I was there that week, Fiona came. Fiona is a little lady just about this tall. Pretty red hair, a few scattered little freckles. Just the most pleasant countenance of anything, anybody that you could ever imagine. And I sat there and visited with her, and I finally just looked her right in the eye and I said, "Why are you here?" And she kind of blushed and she said, "Well," she said, and I'd ask her, you know, about her home and her relationship with her parents and all of that, and she was adopted, but she had never had any desire to seek her birth parents or anything like that. She had a wonderful relationship with her adoptive parents. I mean, I could not find anything. And when I finally said, "Why are you here?" she kind of blushed. And she says, because, now she did tell me that she had had a traumatic birth of her third child. Very traumatic time with the birth of her third child. And she said, for about 2 years now, she said, I can be standing at the sink washing the dishes, or at the stove stirring something in a pot, or just riding down the street with my family. And she says, all of a sudden my mind is just filled with the most vulgar, filthy thoughts and language, words that you can imagine. And I asked her a few more questions, and then the Lord said, ask her about blood transfusion. So I said, Fiona, have you ever had a blood transfusion? She said, yes, I had two. When I had the trauma with the baby and everything, and it was so bad, they gave me two blood transfusions. I said, aha! So we cast out that spirit of filthiness and all of that. They didn't know enough to pray over the blood or anything. You see, in Ireland is one of the greatest mission fields in the world. 1.5% of the Irish are born again. Less than 1%. In the city of Kilkenny, it's 1.5%. A city of around 26 or 7,000, and there's 9 churches there. 2 churches of Ireland, 2 Roman Catholic churches, 1 Baptist, 1 Pentecostal, and 1 Methodist, and 1 other kind, a Church of Christ or something like that. The people are wonderful people. Very warm, very friendly. I love it. I mean, I love the people there. It's been one of the greatest experiences of my life to be able to go there twice and minister both times to minister deliverance. But they don't know Jesus. Now, there's some religious folks there, but there's not any born-again folks to speak of there. The whole life in Ireland, and I'm chasing a rabbit, and Janie will point at me in a minute, but the social life in Ireland is built around the pub. You've been there? But you know what we're talking about. You been there? But let me tell you a little story now. I'll tell you this. If you ever get the chance to go, go. You'll be blessed. And I can put you in some contact with some people over there if you desire to go. I work with a ministry. We have works in Mexico and a couple in Ireland also are missionaries to Romania as well. They work in Ireland and Romania. And then his parents go to Romania, however you say it, 2 or 3 times a year and do children's crusades and things of that nature. But if you go there and you go out to eat lunch, don't go to the restaurants. Go to the pub because the price is about half and the same cook will be cooking for the people in the restaurant. It's the same food and everything else, but the price will be about half in the pub. Now, I'll tell you a story about Ireland and get off of it. We went to this one place. It's a very historical hotel. It's been there about 300 years. And on the wall in there, they've got the names, the signatures of all the dignitaries that have ever been there. People like Charles de Gaulle and General Eisenhower and John Kennedy and all kinds of movie stars and everything else in there. And there's this big wall about half as big as like from this vent right here back to there and a little taller. So I go over there to the girl at the bar and I say, is that where all the dignitaries put their names? And she said, yes, it is. I said, where do you want me to put mine? She looked at me like I had fallen out of a tree. But that's all right. They're lovely people. Okay. We're going to get down here in a minute and do some things. Now, I don't want to sound harsh or uncaring, and I'm often frustrated though, by the inability of some to accept their deliverance. And I realize that some things are ingrained in our minds and our memories, but at the same time, it is time that we grow up. It's time that we get a life, that we grow up, that we quit thinking about ourselves to the extent that we cannot accept what God has for us. Did you know that you're selfish? Did you know that you're self-centered? Did you know that... And I'm the same way. We all are. Anybody that says they're not these things to one degree or another needs to repent. But we are self-centered. We want what we want. We want to feel good about ourselves. I heard one preacher say one time a long time ago he was preaching against sin, of all things.
And he said, you know, it's an amazing thing. We want to feel good without being good. God wants you to be good. And he'll give you everything you need to be good. He'll take away every unclean thing out of your life. But you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to watch what you say. You're going to have to quit speaking curses over yourself. Now, I told somebody, I said, we're going to speak on curses tonight, but it's going to be a little bit different than normally, because I'm not worried about curses that too much that other people speak against us. You can all acknowledge the fact that people, you know, this camp's cursed every time it starts. Just like I told you about the deal down at the Rio Grande Valley Prayer Center. High tech, witchcraft. That's a given. Proverbs 26:2 says, the cursed causeless shall not come, shall not alight. It has to have a point of origin. And yes, there are people that are going to curse you, speak curses against you in different ways, call you incompetent and things of that nature, maybe on the job or something like that, but you don't have to accept it. If you accept what they say, then you've allowed that curse to take root inside of your mind and your will and your emotions. You understand what I'm saying? And so therefore, we have to take authority over those things. And I know there are places maybe at the workplace where you can't rebuke it right out loud, but you sure can under your breath. You can say, I don't receive that. I'm not going to receive that at all. So I'm made in the image of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm somebody. I'm worth the blood of Jesus Christ because He shed it just for me. I mean, just tell the devil who you are. He won't like that. He don't like to be reminded of those things because he wants you to forget all that. Okay. I've carried this bottle for 5 minutes or longer and I'm going to get rid of it now. Lay there and bleed. Now, I don't want to sound hard or uncaring, and I am frustrated by the inability of some to accept their deliverance. Now, I realize that there's some things that are ingrained in our minds and our memories, but at the same time, it is time that we grow up and some steps to ensure the complete deliverance that we need. And here's 7 steps, and I'm going to go through them real quick. Forgive all who have wronged you in the past. Forgive every person who has wronged you in the past. Completely cancel the debt once for all. And I mentioned earlier, once you forgive like that, you can still remember it, but it won't carry with it the pain and the hurt of it anymore. And the second, or this is not the second thing, but the second part of point one, is completely cancel the debt you have against yourself. One of the things we find in counseling with people for deliverance is that most people's got a grudge against themselves. Their inability to succeed, their inability to be successful, to really cope with things and things of that nature, and they hold that against themselves. And they confess that. I just can't get loose. I just can't get free. Cancel that debt. Forgive yourself. Well, you don't know what I did. No, but I know what I did, and God forgave me. And what you did ain't near as bad as what I did. So. Hello? All I'm saying is that God will forgive you. Why don't you forgive yourself? Number 2, repent of all known sin in your life. Repent of it. Renounce it. Cast it aside once for always. That's a good Baptist terminology. Once for always. Well, that's good terminology in this case. Get rid of it. And then refuse to allow it to return. In other words, if you're struggling, just say, for example, with cigarettes. You're struggling with cigarettes, and you leave here tonight, and you throw your cigarettes out the window, and you might get halfway across town, if you're driving across town, and you'll see a convenience store, and there'll be a little voice say, nobody will know. You can pull right in there and get you a package of cigarettes, and nobody will ever know. Dumb devil! Nobody knows but you and him and the Lord anyway. That's part of James' story. Number 3, ask God to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And to do that, you have to believe that He is faithful to perform His Word. In other words, 1 John 1:8-9, does God really mean what He says? You know, I heard some guy on TV the other day, and I turned it off because I got angry. He said, that passage, 1 John 1:8 and 9, has nothing to do with a Christian. Duh, it was written to the church. Let me tell you, there's a bunch of garbage on the airways out there. You need to be careful who you watch on TV.
Amen.
I quit watching most Christian television. I don't mind telling you, I just quit watching. You say, you mean you don't watch Benny Hinn or Jesse Duplantis or all those guys? No, I don't watch any of them. Let me tell you something. I'd rather hear a Dr. Null or I listen to Brother Landry's teaching from last camp on authority. I'd rather listen to a man of God 1,000 times more than I had some TV preacher that's trying to make a kingdom for himself. Excuse me. You need to be careful what you watch and who you watch.
And all the suckers that support him.
That's right. Okay. Believe that he's faithful to perform his word and then receive that which he has promised. I'm going to hurry now. He said I had till 11 o'clock. You know, down in the valley, they call me Two Tape Nathan. I'm not ever going to live that one down. Number four, renounce all affiliation with the devil. Confess Christ as Lord and Savior and Deliverer. Everybody say this, Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, my Deliverer. If you mean that, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Take authority over the devil as God has provided. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And I think I explained this the other morning, but there's two words that are translated power in the New Testament. One is exousia and the other is dunamis. Exousia means the right privilege and authority. Dunamis means a mighty miraculous force, usually supernatural usually supernatural in its effect, so to speak. And there in Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give you power. That first word is authority, exousia, over all of the mighty, miraculous, supernatural force of the enemy. You have the authority. God has given it to you. And when the 70 returned in that passage of Scripture, and they were rejoicing that even the demons were subject to them, Jesus said, that ain't no big deal. He said, that ain't no big deal at all. You want to know what the big deal is? That your name is written in the book of life. That your name is written in heaven. That's the big deal. In other words, what he's saying in effect is that casting out demons is just something you ought to be doing by nature. All the time. My name's written in heaven. Hallelujah. Number five. Everybody say number five. Break the curses off. Now, to do this, you have to confess the sins and the iniquities of the fathers. And one of the things, and I heard Brother Noel speak about this today, but familiar spirits is how the iniquities of the fathers follow the family line. They carry those iniquities. They carry those suggestions right down the line. And it's done through familiar spirits. You agree with that, Dr. Null? And we have to break those off. We have to confess the sins and the iniquities of the fathers, and that's how we break off that. Then we take authority over the familiar spirits. Again, see, to my way of thinking anyway, repentance and confession always has to come before deliverance. You may not agree with that, but I do. Nathan, I agree with you. Examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. And what disqualifies you? Not having Jesus in you. See, we have to be careful. We in the deliverance ministry have to be careful. Not everybody that comes up here for deliverance or comes to you for deliverance might be really genuinely born again. You need to answer the answer to that question first off. First thing, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you confess Him as Lord? I don't remember who it was. Somebody here in the last day or two talked about questioning somebody. Maybe in Dr. Null, I'm not sure. But I remember one time a friend of mine and I were doing a little street ministry and going door to door. You know, the church growth experts tell us that don't work anymore. I sure wish I'd get that message across to the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. But anyway, this has been years ago we were doing this. And we came to this one house and we got to talking to this young man. And he said, "Oh, I believe in God." He said, "I'll go out in the cotton field out here and pray." He worked out in the oil field. We talked a little bit and my friend Jack was doing all the talking and I was just standing there. All of a sudden the Lord impressed me saying, "Ask him to say Jesus is Lord." Remember 1 Corinthians 12:1-2? No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit. I said, do me a favor. He said, "Okay, if I can." I said, "Just say Jesus is Lord." I want you to know he twisted his mouth every way in the world and he never did get Jesus out. Now, there's no doubt in my mind the next day he could have used the name of Jesus as a cuss word out on the rig. Come on now. But in the presence of two Holy Ghost-filled men of God, he could not say Jesus, much less Jesus is Lord. So you need to always, when you're counseling with somebody for deliverance, you need to be sure they're born again. Ask them that. Can you say Jesus is Lord? Number six. Everybody say six. Oh, I forgot one. Back up to five a minute. Command the curses to fall off and to the ground. Renounce the curses. The ones that you know about, any that you don't know about, you have the right to go ahead and say, any curse that has been spoken against me, any word that's been spoken against me, I command you to fall to the ground, fall harmless. Fall off me, I don't care what you do with it. Just get it off of you. You send it back to where it came from, I don't care. There's all kinds of things about that, but you just need to address that. Number six, cast out all demons that have had an effect in your life. And rejection, by and large, is the main thing 90% of the time. And I really thought probably when I ministered tonight I'd minister on rejection, but the Lord led me this way instead. You see, every one of us, at some point in time, have received rejection. Anywhere from the time of conception on. Had a young lady came one time, I don't think I told this story. My wife tells me I need to write down where I tell these different stories so I won't tell them again. But sometimes they're good enough, I like to hear them again. But this young lady came to our church and she walked the aisle for salvation. Did I tell this Sunday morning? And we introduced her to the Lord the best we knew how and everything. That night she came back, same thing. The next Sunday she came and the same thing, both services again. I began to do a little questioning about her with some other people, and she had been to nearly every church in town and done that. Gotten saved two or three or four, five, six times at every church. Finally, I called her in and talked to her, and she had been, her mother and dad got a divorce. Bitter custody fight. The dad won. He remarried. The stepmother's father. The step-grandfather, the girl was 12 years old, came to live with them and immediately began to sexually abuse her. She finally got up enough nerve to tell her dad, and her dad kicked her out of the house. Now, I had to repent, because we're all adults here, and I wanted to get a dull knife and a vigilante crew and go do a little operation. I'm sorry. If that offends you, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend. But I'm just telling you, I had to repent. Because I really did want to go get that old man and do something. But I showed her the necessity of forgiving him, and she was gloriously set free. And we praise the Lord for that. I saw her one time after that. She moved away, her and her husband and her family. And after I moved to Pampa, Texas, and I went, before Janie got there, I went to the laundromat one day, and I saw this beautiful young lady there, and I said, I know her from somewhere. And it was that girl. She recognized me. I didn't recognize her because her old countenance had changed so much. not a haunted look about her or anything anymore, just shining with the glory of God. And she said, life is wonderful. And she had assurance. Number 7, everybody say 7. Ask the Holy Spirit to completely fill all areas of your life. In other words, each vacated room. Luke 11:24, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So now, you ready to get clean? All right. Let's pray. Then I'm going to ask you to stand. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord, Lord, we ask that you move mightily in our lives at this moment. We do confess that we have all fallen short of the glory of God in our private lives. We all stand in need of deliverance from the things which hold us in bondage. And as we take the God-given authority over the works of the enemy, we ask that you give us the deliverance we so desperately need. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now say this with me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I confess all the sins of my forefathers. And by the redemptive blood of Jesus, I break the power of every curse that passed down to me. I ask for forgiveness for the sins of my forefathers and for myself. I realize that the iniquities of the fathers are passed on to the third and fourth generation. I also confess and repent of every sin that I have committed, known or unknown. And I accept Christ's forgiveness. Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And now I choose the blessing. And I reject the curse. I repent of every broken oath or promise that I've made to the Lord. And I ask for any curse that came to me because of disobedience or breaking my vows, that it be lifted from me as I become obedient to His commandments. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break every evil curse that has ever been spoken against me. I cancel the force of every prediction. Just like John Duncan's dad predicting that he would be just like his uncle, in other words. I cancel the force of every prediction spoken about me, whether intentionally or carelessly, that contradicted God's promised blessings. Again, I forgive every person who ever wronged me, abused me, lied to me, about me, or spoken evil of me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take authority over every unclean spirit and assignment against me and cast them forth now. Now let's do it. All spirits of rejection. All spirits of rejection. I command you to leave these people right now at this moment. You come out right now. Every spirit of rejection. You come out right now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of rejection, fear of rejection, and self-rejection. You whole family of rejection spirits, I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Now, like Brother Marzulli used to say, take a big deep breath and blow it out. Get rid of it. Take action. That's your step of faith, doing that. Participate in it.
All spirits of rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, come out right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rejection, self-pity. All self-pity spirits. All self-pity. Poor little old me. All self-pity spirits, I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. All self-pity spirits. Pouty spirits. Poor little old me spirits. I just can't do it spirits. Woe is me spirits. All spirits of self-pity. All spirits of low self-esteem. You come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of them right now. Lack of confidence. I can't do it. That I can't do it, Spirit. I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Lack of confidence. I'm not able to do what I know I could do. I'm not able to do what God wants me to do. All spirits of lack of confidence, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on. Come on out right now. You can't stay there. You've got to leave right now. All spirits of lack of confidence. I don't know who this one pertains to, but all inability to hold a job. All inability to hold a job. You come out right now. God is delivering you, and the devil has lied to you and said you can't do it. But it's got to go. It's got to go. Inability to hold a job. Not being able to hold gainful employment for whatever reason. It's going, it's going, it's going, and it's gone right now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of lack of confidence, inability to hold a job, not able to function, I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. All those spirits. The inability to maintain a healthy relationship with anybody. All inability to maintain a healthy relationship. I just can't get close to anybody. If anybody gets close to me, they'll see me for what I am and they'll reject me and they won't like me. And so therefore, I'm not ever going to get close to anybody ever again. That's the way that thing works. In other words, if you knew me like I know me, you wouldn't like me, and therefore, I ain't going to let you see me. I'm going to be somebody I think you'll like, somebody you'll accept. I'm going to put on a false front. I'm going to become schizophrenic. Hello! All inability to maintain healthy relationships. You come out right now in the name of Jesus. Everybody's against me. Everybody's against me. I've known people that never done anything wrong in their life, according to them, but it was always somebody else's fault all the time. Well, all fault-finding spirits, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of them right now in the name of Jesus. Every fault-finding spirit, you come out right now. Come on out. Criticism. I could do that better. I could do that better. You come out right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of criticism, you come out right now. Critical spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Every one of you, come out right now. You can't stay in this place any longer. Arrogance. Arrogance. Just look at me. Man, ain't I something? All spirits of arrogance. Pride. Pride and arrogance run hand in hand. All spirits of pride and arrogance, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. I can do it myself. You know, it's a big thing with men, really. Listen to me now. That's really a big thing because we're macho, you know. I can take care of me and mine. I don't need no help. That's pride and arrogance, and it's as phony as a $3 bill, and you need to repent of it and get rid of it. All spirits of pride and arrogance, you come out right now. Unforgiveness. Now, unforgiveness is always tagged along with rejection. All spirits of unforgiveness, I command you to leave the people right now. Every spirit of unforgiveness. Now, we prayed that prayer. I led you in that prayer where you forgave everybody that ever hurt you so that he doesn't have a legal right to stay there anymore. That spirit's got to go. All spirits of unforgiveness, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. Come out right now. Come on out right now in the name of Jesus. Every one of you got to come out. You can't stay there. You got to go. You've got to go. You got to go in the name of Jesus. All unforgiveness spirits, all bitterness and resentment, you come out right now in the name of Jesus.
We're going to deal now with some sexual sins. We're going to start out with lust. Now, lust can be about a lot of things besides just sex, but we're talking about sexual lust now. All spirits of sexual lust, I bind you right now, and I command you to loose these people and let them go right now. Now, when I call out something like that, you know, everybody's afraid to take a deep breath or anything else because they say, oh, somebody will see it. Ain't nobody paying no attention to you. Except maybe me. And you can't do anything that'll shock me anyway, so what difference does it make? You can deliver us very long. You get past shock treatment real quick. Because you're gonna see things and hear things and experience things you never dreamed of. All sexual lust spirits, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. Now, lust is an unhealthy desire for something which is forbidden. Or something which you cannot have. You can lust for a car, but we're not talking about that. When we're talking about sex, when you're talking about sexual lust, you're talking about lust for something that is forbidden. In other words, adultery, fornication, things of that nature. Perversion. In fact, that's the next thing on the list is adultery. All spirits of adultery. You come out right now in the name of Jesus. All adultery spirits. Now, that doesn't mean that you have committed adultery particularly. But the Spirit is there and it's working on you. And you know, a Spirit working on you, listen to me now, a Spirit working on you is like the Chinese water torture. How many of you know what that is? That's where they tie you down, they let water drip on your forehead, and they say in just a short hours or minutes even, it'll drive you mad. Well, the devil just keeps dripping. When he's after you in the area of lust, for example, he just keeps on dripping. So you don't have to have committed adultery to have a spirit of adultery. But if you fantasize in your mind about it, you have already committed adultery in your heart and you're just as guilty as if you would have committed the act. It's the same way with anger. You can murder somebody and never pick up a gun against them. But you can do it in the fantasy. And you can think how wonderful it would be to blow that individual away. I'll get even. Well, if you look after a woman with lust, you've already committed lust in your own heart. Why not? We're murder. Why not stealing something? I mean, it's all the same. All spirits of adultery, you come out right now. Fornication, all spirits of fornication, you leave right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fornication. This next one can be sexual, but it doesn't have to be, and that's bestiality. Some people are so attached to their pets that they create soul ties with their pets or an animal, and that's a form of bestiality as well. Of course, having sex with an animal is bestiality too. All spirits of bestiality, I command you right now to come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bestiality, come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on. You can't stay there. All spirits of self-gratification, sexually. In other words, masturbation and things of that nature. All masturbation or self-gratification spirits, I command you to leave right now. You know what I got the other day, Brother Glenn? I got an email from a very well-known elder in one particular church who defended masturbation. I started mentioning that there yesterday when you were talking about it. That's it exactly. Now, the sad thing is that he quotes Dr. Dobson in it. And that about blew my socks off. I really would have never thought that. Probably not. Probably took it out of context. In fact, I hesitated to even mention Dobson's name because of that. Anyway, self-gratification, masturbation, come on out right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out right now in the name of Jesus. It gets, you know, it always gets quiet when you get into this realm, doesn't it? Spirits of homosexuality and lesbianism, perversion, I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. All perversion spirits, homosexuality, lesbianism, sodomy, anything of that nature, you come on out right now in the name of Jesus. Come on out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.